Oh, look, this new young man, the coach. Welcome to the episode of The Coach and the Casual. Tonight, we're going to talk about Fierce, the fight night. We're going to get all things UFC, maybe some litigations about some lawsuits, and I'm sure the casual has a lot of things to say. Take it away, Kyle.
Well, we can jump right into it. That, you know, did you think you had something when you shaved? You thought you were going to be looking good or what? What happened?
I thought I'd look younger.
No. Yeah, there was a couple of things that kind of sprung to my mind. You know who you look like? You look like, do you know who Sirhan Sirhan is?
No.
He's the guy who shot Robert Kennedy. He was a Palestinian.
Really?
Yeah, you look just like him. Sirhan Sirhan shot Robert Kennedy. You know who else you look like, though? You look like, you know Yellowstone?
Yeah.
You look like if Jamie had a gay Palestinian brother.
Oh, you look just evil, like. Is he the evil guy?
Oh, he's not evil. He's misunderstood. But you look just like
that's
Jamie.
That's because you're evil. That's why he misunderstood.
You look like,
I really
like
connect
Jamie,
with the evil character.
But Jordanian. Or like if Curious George grew up and was like a gay cowboy, that's like you're exactly.
I think I hear a lot of homosexual comments because you're projecting. Honestly, you walked in and I was laying on that couch and you were like, oh, hi. Yeah,
that
and
you're wasn't like, what happened.
Dude, you didn't even know what to say.
You know what's funny is I hear a lot that I project the gay thing. Do you think,
I know you are. You've literally had four boners every time. That's why we don't do jiu-jitsu anymore. I was like, this is crossing my boundaries, dude.
We haven't done jiu-jitsu in months, and it's because you keep dodging me. Is that true? Yes or no?
It's because of the boners, bro. I told you. It makes me uncomfortable.
We were at Fierce Fighting this last week, and what was that guy's name? He's the one that won the polo shirt.
Yeah, we had our first commercial out, Coaching the Casual. We sponsored the Fierce Fights. We saw because we're getting big, bro. We had commercials, sponsored a bunch of fighters.
We're in the cage there.
My dude Julian Ruiz had a first round finish, TKO. He looked nasty.
We'll talk about that fight because, from my perspective, and I know Julian listens to the show, I'll give my take on it. But that was some risky business that he was taking in there.
Let's get right into it. What was risky about
it? Well, let's talk first. You didn't get time to watch most of that card, huh?
No, I didn't get to watch most of the card.
There were some banger fights in there. A lot of just straight up knockouts. That guy, Nick,
I saw the knockout.
That guy, Nick Jackson, I've now seen all three of his fights because he fought a Steel Fist and then a Fierce before. He's that black guy who doesn't have a gym. He's by himself. He got punched and it's almost like he broke his jaw or something because he just kind of like froze up. And then he just, like, dropped down.
The 55-er?
Yeah.
He might be fighting Talon for the title.
Well, not now, because he just lost in a contender series.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was supposed
but
to
But he came out
one.
And he had, like,
maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah, this was Nick Jackson. I think he's actually bigger than 55.
I think it's a different guy, yeah.
Speaking of Talon, when's he going to be fighting again?
April 20th at UVU. Or no, May 30th at Maverick Center. Yeah, so he'll be fighting for the 55 title. You know, the guy, he lost his last title, is going pro, and so it's vacant, and he's still the number one contender in that weight class, in that division.
That'd be like, that's a good strategy, I guess, just wait until everybody who beats you, like, moves up, and then
until they're all pro.
I'll take it again.
Well, you know, it actually is a good one, you know? Because, like, the dude's like, yeah, he is the best in the state, and then once you beat them all, then you move pro.
When is Jackson fighting again? He's fighting that same card, the 20th?
Yeah, April 20th at UVU. That's my whole career started at UVU. Like, that's where I would start fighting. And it actually used to be a big show.
Are they going to have the... So I'll tell you, I really love Fierce Fighting. I'm a big proponent of Fierce Fighting. However, this last show we were at, it was at a high school with all the lights on.
Oh, my God, dude. So painful.
You've been to a lot of amateur promotions. What are some things that they could have done better? Because Fierce does a lot of things right.
You can't do it at a high school.
Yeah.
It's got to be an experience for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, even, like, the workers there. I trained the doc. He wants to come on our show.
Yeah, we're
sure. He does, like, UFC, bare knuckle.
He looks like a tattooed Moby.
Yeah. He is a little Moby, isn't he? He does all these fights. He does it like, and he was like there, and he was like, man, I love doing it because, I mean, the money he makes is probably.
It's just fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like fun money or whatever. He's like, but the high school, he's like, man, how many more do I have to tell I go home? Well,
the problem is just you. I think during fights, you cannot have house lights on.
Yeah.
House lights can't be on because it's just, it takes you out of the experience. When the lights are off, Steel Fist does a great promotion. We were just at Steel Fist, a week and a half ago.
Yeah, and we could talk about that. My dude Jordan lost.
Jordan lost, and so did.
Darian. Yeah. And then Chris, he won. He won, remember, in the 30 Chris, seconds.
Carvalho.
Yeah, Carvalho looked nasty.
Carrillo. Chris Carrillo.
Carvalho's talent, yeah. Yeah, Chris looked nasty, bro.
And that kid, he's like 135 pounds or something.
Yeah, 125 pounder.
Yeah, he doesn't have to cut much, I bet, to get
and
that
he doesn't even cut anything, yeah, dude.
He's a little guy. Yeah. But that guy has got so much swagger.
And so much pop, dude. Didn't you love him?
Dude, he caught, wasn't it a guillotine that he dropped him on?
Yeah, and he got that over the high shoulder, put him to sleep. Pretty quick,
yeah.
And he just came, bro. Yeah, you heard the thunder.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dom. That's Dom's guy.
Dom's guy. Born and bred.
Dom took
him
up.
His first fight, he hadn't trained at all.
Yeah, and then Dom was coaching him, and he was listening to Dom because Dom somehow knows his dad through something, and he's like, "My son's fighting. He doesn't train," and we knew he was fighting a grappler, and I was like, "Oh." And then Dom tried to coach him through, and he's like, and the kid tried, and Dom goes, "Bro, you were so coachable. Like, let me just at least teach you how to fight." And now he's 2-0.
Yeah, he was. And then he shouted out coaching the casual. Mm-hmm. For the record, any fighter, it's a standing invitation who watches this show. Any promotion. I need to see it. But if you win and shout out coaching the casual podcast, you get $100. We don't want you to.
$200, you cheap puss.
It's $100.
Two, yeah, right?
It's $100.
But the 1,000.
Well, okay. Oh, yeah.
We'll go $100 for me, $100 from Ramsey. So it's $200. There you go.
Hey, if you're in the UFC, 5 G's?
No. But $1,000.
$2 G's in the UFC.
Undercard $1,000.
Main card, 5. Main event, 5.
Main event?
Yeah.
30.
Main event. 5 G's.
All right, hear that? Deal's a deal.
But any local promotion, you shout out Coach of the Casual if you win. If you lose, don't say it.
Don't tell
I don't
you
want
listen.
People to know you listen.
Honestly,
I only want winners on.
Yeah, keep that on the DL, bro. Might kick you out of my gym too. You know, and that's like one thing where you can talk about too is like the difference between like the promotion and like building up fighters. One of the hard things with what happened with Jordan, he was fighting on the Steel Fist and he just lost his second time for the title, but he's young, he's 21, you know, so it's like live and learn, but he needs to get more like experience. And the problem is they all jump into MMA. Like Darian jumped right into MMA and I was telling him the same thing. Before I fought, I had maybe, 800 wrestling matches and then boxing matches, and you get all these things, and MMA should be the cultivation of it all. And that's what you kind of saw is like these guys that just jumped into MMA and then they're fighting Joe Schmo, who's an independent fighter, and they have a little bit of more grappling or whatever, and they can win. You know what I mean? Just because they train at a gym. But if you're training at a gym, like first you need to go win jiu-jitsu tournaments. Need to go do amateur boxing because you're not going to get hurt. And then go do an amateur Muay Thai. And once you kind of get like, habits in those, then you can kind of go in and move on to the next level.
Well, what I've noticed with not just guys from the pit, and let me do a big disclaimer that, I mean, one, these guys are impressive as hell. I mean, they're fighting guys who are later going pro and moving on. So it's tough. But like, so Jordan, super talented, obviously. Darian, talented. Bryce, when he fought Steel Fist, very talented. But what I'm noticing a lot is that they get in with these strikers, and most of your guys are grappling guys. They get in with these strikers, they get tagged a couple times, and then they just tell themselves, "I'm going to strike," rather than just taking them down. Do you notice a lot as a coach, if your guy gets tagged up a couple times, they stop listening just because they kind of get into fight or flight mode? Or
yeah, and that's a problem. And even that's why I'm grateful. Like, you know, the Chris fight was a great example of a coachable kid because he is a striker. Hurt the kid, and then he listened to Dom, took it to the ground, and choked him out.
But the question, and because I'm not saying that, and I'm sure you're not saying that these guys aren't coachable in the room. I mean, these guys are super easy to coach.
No, they're coachable.
But the second that I'm saying, like, when you're in a fight, the second you get tagged away a couple times when you weren't expecting it, do you kind of, like, start not listening and start getting into survival mode?
Yeah, or? And that's, like, why you have an amateur career, because you have to learn. And I had, I mean, Dana, after I was on The Ultimate Fighter and I won all three of my fights, I was only 4-1 going into The Ultimate Fighter. And he was like, son, you're going to have to learn how to fight in the UFC. It's going to be hard because you have to learn how to fight, learn how to be like settled in there, be calm in there. Man, if you watch any of my fights like early on, I look like shit, bro. Like if you try to show me my early fights, like not even the ones I just lost, like the ones I win, I'm like, oh, God, like I can't even look at myself. I'm so cringy because I was like learning how to plug it all together. A lot of it came to drilling, a lot of it at there, but just there, nothing can compare to being in the ring. So that's why I'm like, all right, whatever. You lost an amateur title, but he got two title fights, you know, 10 minutes or whatever, or 15 minutes.
He went to decision
on both. On both? So he got 30 minutes of fight time.
25. Against, five rounders. So it's 50
and he's
minutes.
A 21-year-old kid, and the other dude was how old? Like, you know,
you're talking about the guy that Jordan fought.
Yeah, Jordan's
25 minutes against that, or 25 each time. That's 50 minutes.
Exactly,
that's a lot of fight time.
That's a lot of fight time, and then that's like invaluable. And I even said like, okay, let's step away from MMA. Now it's time to go box, time to kickbox, time to go jiu-jitsu, grappling tournaments. Just get experience competing. Because sometimes I forget, like, I grew up doing it, and my switch is like that. It's like, if anything, it's too much. And you just saw Julian grew up wrestling. Julian has a pro boxing, has tons of amateur boxing fights, tons of Muay Thai. He went to the Muay Thai Opens and competed, does jiu-jitsu tournaments. And so when he's out there, you could he went from literally taking a dead sleep nap to, oh, I'm going to go in there and fuck this kid up, to literally about to hurt him.
Well, let's talk about Julian. So that one, first of all, I'll never again bring my children to a fighting night. Not because they were it was too violent. My daughter was just, like, hype watching the – but there was, like, 14 fights by the end. It was so
long. Too long.
Too my many. Kids were acting like animals.
Yeah.
But we get to Julian. It was the last fight of the night. And he could have got himself in trouble. One, it sounds like he even admitted it today that he was nervous.
Yeah.
Did he kind of express some of his nervousness to you at all?
Yeah, because he did. He's coming home back from surgery.
Long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's hard. Ring rust is a real thing. And it's not – that's why now that, like, okay, we got that out of the way. Now we can start rolling a little bit
more. Well, let me fight back. I was just watching you know those guys on YouTube and Instagram, MMA On Point?
Yeah.
Maybe. They were just talking about
I don't watch anything.
Well, it's a good channel. But they were just talking about some myths in fighting. And one of the big myths they said is ring rust. Would you disagree with that? Because they say that it's actually – because like John Jones, every time he came back from a long way off, no problem.
Yeah.
A lot of guys have their best performances coming back after a long
– I can say any either – I mean, yeah, is ring rust a thing? Maybe, but it's for individual people. I know for myself, though, that when I was fighting a lot and I was very busy, it's a lot less – like nerve-wracking. Yeah. You know what I mean? That there's not like the
do
time to think about
it.
I just did it the other day. And then like sitting out for a long time, I did sit out for a long time, then came back and fought Ben Saunders. And I just felt like my decision-making wasn't as fast and sharp. And then you say things like, oh, what about John Jones? Well, that's like saying, oh, what about LeBron Brady, James or Tom Brady? You know, Tom Brady came back and won Super Bowls. Yeah, well, that's Tom Brady. You know, John Jones is a Tom Brady, like tenfold even. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so, but for most people that need that, because you got to disconnect out there. You got to flip the switch.
What's that conversation with Julian like in the back? I saw him taking that nap on his own Instagram. But what's that conversation like? It sounds like he had an angry weight cut. He posted that one thing where he's like, not doing Utah anymore. And then the next one, he's like, I was just cranky. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
cutting weight is hard.
But
I have apologized to many people for things I said when I was cutting weight. Yeah. One time I had a roommate and he drank my juice and then he needed a shower and he like moved my sauna suit over And so it didn't dry, and I came home and I lost it. And he's like, whoa, bro, calm down. And I was like, why would you do that? And he's like, I'll buy you more juice. I was like, I was planning it. I'm like crying, like emotional. And I was like,
but what was it like back then with Julian? Because, and we'll talk about the fight here in a second, but what was it like backstage? I mean, he'd been off for a long time, and he is a dominant fighter. I mean,
yeah,
he had some real things in the work.
And I think one thing he did show is not just, like, he's stepped up from being the amateur fighter, this one, to being a dominant, violent pro. Because, I mean, that's the difference between amateur and pro, the violence that you can.
So even we'll just jump right into it, is that what I saw, and of course I'm a casual and an amateur, but it seemed like his striking was professional, but his defense left him over. I thought he was going to be in big trouble coming up. The spinning back elbow.
Yeah.
So did you see that? It felt like his, so you're saying it looks like he takes the next step up in his offense, but his defense, to be honest, it looked like if the other guy was a little bit more technical instead of so sporadic, Julian could have caught some on the button. Or do you disagree?
I 100% agree. And that's even my takeaway from it. I told him, I said, your defensive holes were really exposed. Was the guy sporadic? Yeah, and that's a hard thing to do. But when you're fighting a sporadic fighter, you got to be perfect in your defense, because the hands got to be up. I.e. myself versus Tony Ferguson. He's a fucking sporadic fighter. Like, he is, but he's got power in his hands. And that's why he's been so was so dangerous. Now he's half the thing. He's like Voldemort.
He's more dangerous at home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know him anymore. His wife might beat the fuck out of him back. What'd you say? You get in that corner now. His 4-year-old starts slapping him, or fucking 10-year-old. I don't know how old his kid is. He's like, he reminds me now of like Voldemort when he was like the first few books of Harry Potter.
Still on the back of Quirrell's
head. He did the opposite of Voldemort. He didn't get, you know what I mean? He's like on the.
He's like Benjamin Button Voldemort.
Yeah. Still fighting new deals, and you're like, God, please don't fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't understand. Tell me why. What's the best defense against a sporadic fighter then? Especially if you're a well trained. Is it let them tire themselves out or what?
No, let them jump into the shot. You just got to have like your perfect defense and be sitting there. And as soon as they throw something, you got to make them pay, like block that kick. Because he threw up that lead kick, and you just got to block one of those sporadic kicks and make them pay. That's why Drinkus is so dangerous. He's a fucking sporadic fighter, but he's a boar of a human being.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can you time him out there? But then when you do, because sometimes when you're timing a sporadic fighter, you are getting hit. And that's why it's important. It's not about not getting hit. It's not about getting
hit. How hard you can hit. It's how hard you can getting hit. And keep moving forward.
But it's not about getting hit clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I have to trade. Like, I, you know what? We can even put this on there, is I was this morning watching Ilya Topuria versus Josh Emmett. And you watch the way he just, I mean, most beautiful masterclass of fights you'll ever see.
But he's a little guy, I could beat his ass.
Yeah. He'd fucking break you. But like the way he was just sitting on the inside, and he's exchanging with Emmett constantly, but Emmett's like brushing off of him, and Iliad's like biting down, and his chin is up high. So when they're trading, he's landing that right on there. Then Emmett's like just barely going off. Then he finds his range, and then Emmett's just kind of like throwing these wild things. And so that's where like Julian's got to tighten up, because once his shoulder starts coming up more against that sporadic fighter, yeah, he'll land the shot on the inside, but also have the defensive counter with it.
Why do, because a lot of these guys that are out of the pit are grapplers. Why are they taking so long to get, is there an advantage? Even if you're a grappler, is there an advantage to starting on your feet for longer? Or, I mean, because, like, if you look at, like, Ben Askren, he went to immediately try and take down Masvidal. He got time. So he's a great grappler and tries to go straight to grappling.
Joester and Sugar Sean the other day.
Why are these great grapplers not going straight to grappling?
Because it's danger zone. Aljo had to cross that danger zone to get his hands on Sugar. And if he got his hands on Sugar, it's a different fight, right? And then, but that's the hardest thing is like that danger zone crossing. Same with me, like when I was crossing that danger zone, me versus Tony, boom, caught me right in there.
So you're saying like when you're going for the shoot, you could catch something?
Yeah, it's an opening. You're opening yourself up. And then when you start striking and someone starts figuring out your timing, you start to get gun shy or you're like trying to fire and you're missing, you know, and I've been in, you know, I've always felt like somewhat, every time I've lost is because I like brought my hands down low, but I usually could win the center line on somebody and like pick them apart. Like that Diego Fiera, me and him, I was fucking him up until I blew out my elbow, but he just caught me with some looping wild punch. You know what I mean? But if I can win the center line, I can kind of like start feigning like Eli Topuria. You watch him, he wins on Josh Emmett, then everything else just comes over the top, you know, and then the defense is perfect on the inside. So if you try to kick Eli Topuria, he's like right here and he's got such perfect boxing, he touches you, boom. And so then you start to get gun shy in front of him and it's like, how am I going to shoot on this guy? How can I take him down when every time I try to touch him or get within this close, he punches me in the fucking jaw?
How much of fighting, like, do you ever, like, I mean, there's always
the... And once Julian got his hands on that guy, the first time, everybody's defense is 100%, like, percent. First time you get your hands on someone, they're, like, still, like, explosive. And someone is hard to take down until they wear down.
Were you worried at all? One, because it was right in front of you that he had him down on the ground and was just wailing on him with elbows. At that point, were you worried or did you know it was a done fight?
No, I knew it was a done
fight. What could that guy have done to, if Julian, how could he have caught Julian in that case?
My only worry is in this situation is like Julian started to feel bad. Like, you know what I mean? He starts to like, and for the ref is just fucking letting it go. And I'm just sitting there like this again. again, Julian. And he's like, and he's looking at the ref. But the problem is like, Zeke, remember the other day?
Yeah.
We were at Fierce and Zeke two times has beat the fuck out of someone to the point where you're like, everyone's screaming, stop it, stop it. And then he's exhausted and loses.
Yeah.
So that was my, you know, like, and that dude.
You didn't want Julian to blow his load.
Yeah, what if he, because when you're going for the kill, you get that adrenaline rush and you start to like, and that's why I was like trying to say it on rhythm with him, like, again.
You had told
because
me,
it's about a rhythmic finish.
You had told me, and for me, so the guy's covering up his head. For those of you who didn't see this fight, covering up his head, and Julian's just wailing on him with elbows. I had thought, well, why not come up and start wailing on his ribs who's the Cuban again? I always forget his name.
Romero
did on that one guy, right? Where he's just nailing his ribs over and over. Because I thought that would open up the head, but you said that's no good.
Worthless body. I mean, I would hit the body more to try to like maybe bring their hands down if I was in a guard. But if you're like he was in that side control and you can wail on the head, that's more effective because that's preventing them from digging an underhook. But if I go to the body, then he's going to overhook me. You know what I mean? And then that overhook becomes an underhook and then they start working up. But while the head consistent pressure of like, boom, if he does, because what's his way out? Dig an underhook, right? Yeah. So his way out is I got to stop doing this and be boom, boom, boom. And that's the only way out. And realistically, in the game of MMA, he had to give up those headshots if he wanted to get out. So in that kid's situation, he had to dig an underhook and Julian was going to elbow him two or three times in the head. Then he should have got an underhook, worked back up to the fence and built up if he had the proper defense, you know what I mean? And then Julian would have to there from then on either decide to keep the pressure take down or look to strike off. That's saying all things are even. Like, if you ever watch my fight versus, what's his name? The dude that just, oh, I just drew a blank. The guy that got in trouble for gambling.
Oh, yeah, it was Krause.
Yeah, James Krause. My fight and James Krause. Like, that's one of my favorite examples of it, like, we both were playing the game, but he got a takedown on me, and then I had a fight for underhook. And as soon as I got fought for the underhook, I knew building up, I'm going to eat a knee or an elbow or something. And then he took his free knee, boom. And then we kept on fighting. I took Kraus down, got to side control, and he knew I had to dig the underhook. And he digged the underhook while I sat there and just fucking elbowed the shit out of the side of his head. And he's like this. But we both were playing the game even. You know what I mean? We both had both black belts, masters of the sport. So while that fight's going on, there is no, like, when you get a advantage position, it's like you get the free shots. Yeah. And that kid should have given up the free shots, but instead he was like, I'm done.
Yeah, it was great. And to answer the start of that, you asked, you kind of said, like, if I ever were to watch that fight, I won't. So don't worry about that.
Yeah. I know. Because you don't know any fights, bro.
I usually, what I will do a lot of times, if I'm, and this, I mean, has happened a couple of times, like, if I am having trouble sleeping, I'll put on, like, one of your fights.
Yeah.
And I'll, I'm just kidding.
That's not me, bro. You no, know
I'll put
that.
On, I'll put on one of your boy Bilal's fights.
Hey, yeah.
It's a guaranteed, it's a guaranteed
Joe
snoozer.
Silva, Joe Silva. Looked me in the eyes and said, "You're a needle mover." Which brings us to our next point. How much do you think I made to fight Tony Ferguson?
10,000.
I wish. $8,000 minus fees, minus whatever else I had to pay.
You would have made more if you'd won.
I would have made 16 grand.
Did you? So, with that in mind, did you consider winning?
I was out there trying. I was winning. I was winning the fight, actually.
You know what I would do if I was the fighters? I'd go to...
Until an erratic punch hit me because my defense wasn't perfect at that time.
You know what I would do if I was a fighter is I would... And we're both on, show and win. I'd go to the other guy and say, listen, if I win, I'll split the win money with you. You win, you split the win money with me.
You're never a fighter, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Is I guarantee you my money. And then if I won, I wouldn't actually split.
Yeah, I was just joking.
Yeah, bro, I was just playing.
Yeah.
But that way you can try and lock up half the money.
Then you go to jail, too. Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know. Oh, is that like...
Sean Ray's knocking at your door, bro. That's illegal shit. Are you serious?
How is that illegal? It's not changing bets.
Oh, that's illegal. Yeah.
It's tampering. It's, ruining the integrity.
Yeah, but
of
it's,
the
not
fight.
It's not... I'm not... I still want to win. He still wants to win. It's just I'm locking up my
money.
Yeah,
I know. You can't do any side bets at all.
It's not side bets.
Or side deals or anything like that. Yeah, that's illegal.
I don't know. It's like if you're on Survivor and you tell somebody, hey, listen.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
I'll split the money with you no matter what.
You'll be in the cell next to James Krause.
You guys, he's not in jail. He's just banned. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, not yet.
No.
They're still going to trial. What?
He could get indicted.
Yeah, there might still be more done to it. But which brings me to the next point. Let's talk about the settlement, $353 million settlement. You see that with
Rams
the U.S.
trying to get paid.
Yeah, bro. I don't know. Who knows? Anyone out there that knows what it means to me, call me.
I've got some sources, and I'm not going to reveal them. I'm not going to tell you what. I'm not going to tell you what exactly they told me. All I've been told is that there are some big things about to happen in the UFC.
Like they are moving.
Yeah,
are selling.
They're selling or they're moving to a different network or something. That's why they're cleaning up the lawsuits. They're cleaning up a bunch of stuff because something big is about to happen and some people are wary of it.
Yeah.
So and I've heard that there's big things happening.
Well, here's the thing. Like, what didn't they clear another, like, what was it this last year? 20 billion or something crazy. Like, their numbers are tenfold of what they sold for. They sold for 4 billion. But, you know, and that's like, and that a lot of people are mad at the fighters that were in the lawsuit because what they wanted them to do was like unionize the fighters, like make a, what do you call it, like insurance, a pension, which is all, I think, fair, right? Like that should be fair. But they just settled for compensation because they wanted to close out. But I think it would have been another 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
And these guys, so... I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm grateful that I didn't have to be part of it. And
so has there been talks about you getting some of that Skrilla or what? You had a lot of fights during that time.
I don't know, bro. That's what I want to know. Like any of my lawyer friends out there listening to this, do a little, you know, research. But they said within 30 to 90 days. And I've already had before people reach out, be like, you're part of the class action lawsuit. Because the years of, I think it's like 2011 to 2016, it was when I was the most active. But in that year, I think it's fair. I fought Tony Ferguson for $8,000. You know what I mean? My next fight was 10 and 10, 10 and 10, 10 and 10, 12 and 12. I remember at one point borrowing money for my mom to pay for my car payment while I was on a win streak. That's right. and then it sells for $4 billion. Where is the payout? And, like, I mean, I understand that they deserve payout, but I also would love to see unionized and pensions and stuff, because it is a real...
Well, then once the union... The thing is, I'm scared for the UFC when Dana's gone, right?
Why?
Because I feel like Dana is the UFC. The thing is, once Dana's gone...
I think he's outgrown
him. I think Dana's the old guard. Yeah. I think once Dana's gone, the fighters are going to be able to get a lot more money because he's kind of the gatekeeper to it, which is going to mean that they're not going to be able to have the same amount of talent because they have to pay out, which means that they're going to lose a lot of talent, go to other organizations, which means the UFC won't be the same. I think Dana is what holds a lot of this together.
See, and, like, I don't think so. I think the UFC's kind of outgrown him just because of the name brand now. Like, no matter what, you go to Europe, they're talking UFC. They don't talk at Bellator, PFL. And a lot of people say this lawsuit is horrible for the other promotions, which, like, Brandon Schwab was talking about that, which I agree with. I mean, it basically killed any chance of any promotion. But then I'm like, those promotions weren't being built off of hopes of being great businesses. They were like, we hope that they make the UFC pay, and then we'll come in and take our piece of the pie. For me, as an MMA fan, I would rather see UFC be like NFL. One organization, one league worldwide. You know what I mean? Like, it's just better for the sport of MMA. And there should still always be, you know, the AAA, the AA feeder programs like Fierce and stuff like that.
Getting into some other stuff. What'd you think of that DQ this last week?
The biting?
Yeah. Who were the fighters?
They're not big names. I mean, the guy that got bits using it, he got a tattoo and he got a 50. Yeah, and he's like starting to use it. I mean, it's just like, come on, we're not animals, dog.
The guy,
we're human beings.
I'll tell you something, though. I'll tell you something. I actually identify with the guy that bit him, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Okay? Genuinely, maybe he's not as experienced because he's on the lower stuff. But a couple of times when me and you have been rolling, it's been like, I've even told you, like, right after, like, oh, I almost bit you there, and it was like subconscious. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't thinking I want to bite him to get him off me. It was just like, oh, I can't bite right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even like, it wasn't an intentional thought. Like, I want to. It was just, oh, I almost bit him. Like, it's like a survival thing almost.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You shouldn't be in that part of your brain at all. You're a white belt. That's acceptable. Yeah. Someone in the UFC knows what the fuck they're doing. You know what I mean? At that point, you're a borderline black belt in MMA.
But right? Don't you think it was more of a survival thing than an intent? Because he knows he's going to get in trouble if he does it on purpose.
Nah, what was the dude's nationality?
They were both Brazilian, and it seemed like it was a pretty even fight until he
yeah, bro. So
it was just a weird thing. Maybe he just got caught in a bad spot, and his brain was just like, oh, survive and bite.
No way.
Wasn't it weird how small that bite mark was?
Well, it's because you have your mouthpiece in.
Okay, so he's
so it's like you can only really get these three teeth, you know. But, you know, Joseph Campbell, one of the original creators of UFC, he now does, like, combat arts or combat Americas. And he had a funny story one time I saw on Twitter. He's like, when they were coming together, like, no rules. Because the first UFC had no rules, right? You could do whatever. And then I guess one of the Gracies in the Brazilian accent's like, hey, brother, we cannot bite. Because
yeah.
We're not animals. And everyone's like, yeah, no biting, of course. Yeah, yeah. And so everyone agreed since UFC 1, where you can literally fuck someone's eyeball like that. You're like,
Captain Insane or yeah, something.
Yeah, yeah. No biting. Come on, bro. And we've all agreed on that.
There's that one fight where that one guy who later turned out to be a rapist was just getting punched in the balls over and over.
Oh,
and over
really?
By, I think it was who's the guy that was on Court and raised his podcast that called in like the old time cowboy
Don Fry.
Oh, Don Fry.
I think Fry was like punching him in the ball.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
I know, maybe I'm misquoting that. Speaking of old time fighters, though, you see that one guy? He was a UFC OG that ran in and saved his parents from that fire.
Coleman.
Oh yeah,
Coleman.
Yeah, Mark Coleman. I know, that's wild. And then he went in and saved his family.
He was in a coma. Yeah, he like rushed in to save his parents.
I watched the video. I cried, bro.
And,
did you?
And the or when he came to and he was like hugging his kids.
Yeah, did you cry?
I didn't cry.
Bullshit. You
I didn't cry.
I used to.
You know what videos really get me?
Well,
For some reason, the videos that really get me is military dads coming home.
Really?
That makes me cry.
That does every that time. I saw one of a martial arts the other day, and I was like, yeah, that one makes me cry, too. That one's an easy
one. But yeah, Mark Coleman running in there. I've watched a lot of his videos, and he's kind of a little bit office rocker a little bit.
But those are like... That's the UFC I grew up on. And that's the thing. Like, am I grateful that the sport... I love the sport. The sport's given me everything. You know what I mean? But as it grows to become mainstream, you can't have guys like Mark Coleman and his... You know what I mean? But I'm grateful that I'm from an era of that time. Like, my fighting when I was watching growing up was like those dudes in Japan doing Pride. And I never was a fighter to be famous. And now you're going to see... You know, kids that want to be famous fighters, which they're going to, like, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Like, he was, oh, I'm going to be a famous fighter. And he said since he was a kid, he's imagined it. And I was just like, UFC was kind of a thing, you know, when I was a kid coming up. But it wasn't, like, big. It was just martial arts. I was like, I just want to get in there and fuck someone up for fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different mindset. I mean, stardom now in the UFC, I talk about this every time we have a guy on there. But, yeah. Like... The stardom that they have does not match the pay that they get. You know what I mean? So they have to deal with a lot of the problems of fame while not getting the same payday.
The compensation that they really need. You know what I mean?
But speaking of...
Like, and you see someone like Tapura, who's now that level of a famous person in Spain. Like, where people are, like, showing up. Have you seen this? Like, anywhere he goes, there's paparazzi.
Well, yeah, and it's like, you look at, like, Francis talks about the last fight he had, he only got paid $500. He turned down $8 million, but it was for a bunch more fights, right?
Yeah.
But 500 G's to be fighting for the heavyweight championship?
Tapura made, like, 200.
Yeah.
And now, but here's the thing, is he's not like a soccer player that can pay for them to have their private security
and all that.
And that's like, and honestly, that's where it's starting to become. And that's why I wish the lawsuit would have been a better one, not because of the payout. Am I grateful to get a little extra, you know, cabbage? Hell yeah. But I fought for what I agreed to fight for. So, like, what? Who am I to cry about it?
But it's like, that's what I'm saying, is like, fame is not...
cheap.
It's not cool, right?
No.
Like, it's cool, like, to people maybe in the very beginning, like, oh, hey, you know, give a couple autographs. But when you're such a star, it's not cool. You can't do anything. I mean, Strickland can't even leave his place.
Yeah, and, like, where mine would just be, like, someone be like, oh, man, I've seen you fight. And you're like, cool, bro, you know? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're one of my favorite fighters. And it's just once in a, you know...
But these guys, their whole life is gone. Their whole life is gone. And look what the stardom
does. I mean, and even for myself, I don't share pictures of my family on my social media just because of how many people watch our shows now. I don't want them looking at just because you don't know. Like, you know what I mean?
And the big problem, too, is like, look what superstar. Look at Connor right now. I mean, Connor, we just got done with Roadhouse, and he's doing interviews.
Which I loved.
I haven't even watched it. Was it good?
Oh, my God. All of these people are approaching it like the movie. But the only thing I complain about is the CGI in the fight scenes. That's unnecessary. People can choreograph fight scenes. If you need help, give me a call. I can choreograph them for you. I'm really good at it. Done it before, actually. But
I mean, if you look at Connor during the interviews, you know, we were there at UFC when they were filming. Remember, weren't we there when they were filming that
scene? Yeah, we were there when they filmed
when
that scene.
Gyllenhaal was
that's like a flashback in the movie because he's like a former middleweight champ. And then
he knocks a guy out and then punches him again, then fights the ref or something. That's what we were watching, right?
Yeah, and that's what, yeah, I mean, we went early and we're sitting there.
We were watching that
happen. Yeah, that was so awesome.
Were you there, Red Stover?
I didn't see that, but I remember when they filmed it.
Yeah. Was that at Salt Lake when they filmed it?
No, that was in Vegas. It was when me, you, and our girls
were there. Leon fight.
Was it 296?
Yeah.
Leon fight.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And then, but I mean, here's the thing. The movie was, and people are like, it was a horrible movie, but it was fun to watch. Isn't that the point of a movie, to entertain you?
Yeah.
Like, you're not watching a remake of an 80s movie to be, like intellectually challenged.
But
you know what I mean? You're there to have fun. Like, and it was it fun?
It was pretty fun. There was a little too much Notorious butt cheeks for me.
Yeah, a little too much. Yeah, like, too much new. And then they made Connor, like, his bad guy, like almost like mentally handicapped. Like him playing a bad guy. It wasn't like he was a scary psycho. Like, but Jake Gyllenhaal kills it. Like the character.
That's one of my favorite actors.
Oh, he's Jake one of Gyllenhaal. My. I mean, I love Jake Gyllenhaal. Really yeah, good. I'm a little gay for him, Southpaw, dude. He's hot. Yeah,
Southpaw's a great
Southpaw,
movie.
Southpaw, like he'll make me cry too. Like one of his movies.
He does great. That End of Watch. End of Watch.
Oh yeah, that great one's movie. Good movie. Great. And he did such a good job. Like he plays the great psycho. Yeah. And
Connor does a really good job. Like first time acting.
Yeah, first time acting. I think they just made it.
It wasn't a cameo though, huh? He was like a main character.
No, he was a main character. And I think the biggest problem is they were being too cheesy for him. If they would have like took it down, I think Connor would have done better. You know?
I think he was a little over the top a little bit.
Yeah, they're like when they make him come in and like, but like when they're doing the fight scenes, they're fun, dude. Yeah. I thought. And then Post Malone makes a cameo in it.
That's cool.
But it has like a dumb CGI fight scene. It looks so bad. And you're like, dude, just fucking choreograph it, bro.
Okay. What do we got? We got to wrap here soon. What do we got coming up? Next week, we got our episode with Aljamain Sterling getting dropped.
Yeah, we'll release that one. Then we'll be talking about UFC 300.
Yeah, we got a big announcement. We are going to, before every numbered card now, we're about to have ink on paper, but before every numbered card now, we are going to have Paulo Costa be a member of the show.
Yeah, dude. He's going to help us do breakdowns.
He's
going to
get breakdowns before the fight.
He'll be the coach, the casual, and the casual fighter breakdown.
And the fighter, yeah. But Paulo, he's been great to work with. We had him on a couple weeks ago on the episode, but he's going to be an official part of the show going forward.
I want to ask him about Marab's food. Have you been seeing this? It's so funny, dude. Yeah. He is such a silly man.
And you see that Connor said that he would want Paulo in the fight, like in the next movie with him.
Oh, dude. Connor honestly, yeah. Go watch Roadhouse. It's fun. Like, don't expect yourself to be like, you know, like mentally challenged. Just be like, turn off your brain and enjoy a
mentally
fun.
Stimulated, not yeah. Mentally challenged.
Mentally stimulated. Because, and here's the thing. I always like, we have this weird nostalgia as humans. Like, I remember back in the day, the first Roadhouse was so good for me. And, like, the dance one. What's the one where they're not allowed to dance?
Footloose.
Yeah, and if everyone, like, the new one, they're like, which is a good movie. You watch the new one, it's fun or whatever.
I didn't watch either of them. I also haven't watched the old Roadhouse.
New one's good. Yeah.
And then I remember my girlfriend's like, oh, I want to watch the old one because it's just such a better movie. We watch it and you're watching like, this is terrible. There's a scene where he just fucking slaps his daughter and then they just dance it off and you're like, this is way worse than anything. So like, we gotta let, just like Old Pride, like in my head, I'm like, it's so good. And then I see a scene from Old Pride, I'm like, ugh, that was such ugly fighting. So let the nostalgia go, be alive now, fuck you.
Our winner of the Paulo Costa shirt from Fierce Fighting is John Jenks.
John Jenks.
Yeah. He
Jenkins also, or Jenks?
Jenks. Jenks. That's what it says on his.
He
on
said
his,
he's been a longtime fan.
Yeah, I've been watching for a long time. He also said that that girl Campo is the one that should whip my ass.
Yeah.
Her and her brother, right? The two you.
Oh, she
two,
will beat your ass. She's a world champ. Yeah, she was like, she beat Gabby Garcia.
He was
you
like,
know
I
that?
Got the perfect girl to beat you. I was like, she was like, she's right there. I'm like, well, I don't want anybody to beat me.
No, dude.
He didn't. He's like, oh, you want to grapple somewhere? I was like, not really.
Let me show you. Time out. I want this reaction on camera because this girl that she beat at a jiu-jitsu.
What's her first name?
Gabby.
No, Campo's first name.
Oh, Amy.
Is it Ryder's sister?
Yeah, Ryder's sister. And she's actually.
They're at that Zenith.
Yeah, they're at a Zenith. And she is one of the greatest jiu-jitsu. This is the girl she beat.
Damn.
And she weighs like 260.
No way.
Swear to God, Gabby Garcia is the biggest.
That's a good woman right there. Oh, my God. That's what I mean.
So you say, well, I'm 250. She's like,
jeez.
That's what I'm saying. She don't give a fuck.
Well, I've seen that chick. Okay. I've seen that chick.
So you can say you're 250. She's like, yeah, well, I don't care.
Yeah, well, that's what saying. John was like, hey, you should fight her. I was like, well, if she's going to whoop my ass, I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to fight girls that I can definitely beat.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, cool. We got all that coming up. Guys, thanks for tuning in to The Coach and the Casual. Watch next week for Aljamain Sterling. Tune in soon for our picks with Paulo Costa, as well as everything UFC 300. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning into The Coach and the Casual. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and share it with your friends. Thanks again.